Are you staring down a holiday shopping list with a haunted look in your eyes? My Great Big Guide to Holiday Under-the-Radar Book-Giving Perfection can help. Maybe you think not everyone in your life wants a book, but honestly, they are just wrong. I've got a book on my list for the therapy-speak-loving teen who's glued to TikTok, a book for your mom whose book club just forced her to read Emily Henry and just wants a protagonist with a little seasoning, one for your dad, who thinks TV hasn't been the same since The X-Files, and a few for your book-loving bestie who's read everything already. And all you have to do to get the list to drop right into your phone for your shopping pleasure is join my newsletter, #amreading, at kjda.substack.com, link in the show notes, and pretty much anywhere where you can find me, which is easy.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone and try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Hey kids, it's KJ, and this is the #AmWritingPodcast, the place where we help you play big in your writing life, love the process, and finish what matters.
I'm Jess Leahy. I am the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation, and you can find my work at the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Atlantic.
And I'm Serena Bowen. My newest novel is called Thrown for a Loop, and you can find it at bookstores everywhere.
And I'm Jenny Nash. I'm the founder and CEO of Author Accelerator, a company on a mission to lead the emerging book coaching industry. And I'm the author of the blueprint books that help you get your book out of your head and onto your page. And today, the four of us have gathered to talk about gratitude. It's the week of Thanksgiving, and we've been thinking about the things that we're grateful for in our writing life and how we want to celebrate that and amplify that. So we thought we'd share that all with you today. KJ, do you want to start by talking about what you're grateful for?
Yeah. I actually managed to give this some thought since we did talk about it. And I should say, we kind of got the idea from Laura Vanderkam's newsletter, which is really great, and you should subscribe. She was just talking about how, you know, it's one thing to be grateful for things like, woo, I'm grateful that I live in such a beautiful place. But it's another thing to say, and because I'm grateful that I live in such a beautiful place, this week I will make a point of going for a walk, you know, tonight with my dog in a place that I love, or something along that. Her point was, come up with something and then actually do something to amplify that for yourself. So you're not just sitting around, you know, writing a gratitude journal. You're actually trying to do something about it. So having announced that I am totally prepared for this, I'm not really, but I'm kind of am. Okay. So one of the things that I am grateful for this year, a little weirdly, is AI. And it is not for the reasons anyone might think. I'm primarily grateful. I'm grateful that the spurt of AI in everything that I read, from Goodreads book reviews to things in my inbox to, I'm sorry, actual articles in actual newspapers. It's become so recognizable, the stuff that is written. The pattern, the three examples, the particular words that are invariably used. Oh, somebody threw one out the other night. Oh, in the real estate world, if it says something is nestled between two things, that's AI. Anyway, that made me realize that the last thing I want is something else to do any of this for me. I just don't. You know, sometimes you sit around going, oh, somebody just write this book for me. You know what? No, because I don't want my book to be nestled between a rock and a hard place or whatever. So no. So what I'm doing to sort of bring that home for myself is I'm actually trying to be more present, in particular, within the AmWriting universe. So I've been doing something that I'm calling #AmWriting almost every day. It's really nowhere close to every day. Don't worry about getting your inbox full. But I am, you know, that's actually me. If I have time and something to say or something to whine or some ride-alongs to share or an idea, then I'm going to put that out there for y'all, and hopefully you're going to comment back, and you probably won't bother to use AI to do that because that would be really silly. So that's a thing I'm doing, and a thing that I'm grateful that I've suddenly come to the realization of.
What's fun, KJ, is that I can absolutely tell when you're really enjoying writing because it just comes through as it does with most people. But it's been, your newsletters have been really fun, and you're really in it, and I love reading them. I absolutely love reading them.
She gets a little sassy.
She does. She does get a little sassy.
I love it.
Yep. The Shirley Jackson comes out in her, and it's really fun. I like that a lot.
Jess, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. Newsletters have come to mean a lot to me. I have a lot of drafts sitting there, some of which I don't think I may never publish, but I'm really, really grateful that writing has, for my entire life, been the way that I process what I'm thinking about. I do it a lot by talking, but when I'm alone in the woods like I am right now in Vermont, writing is how I figure things out. And I'm so grateful for that because, you know, as I wrote about in my newsletter, I'm dealing with breast cancer and I'm about to have surgery. And some of that stuff is really, really scary. And how I think about it and how I manage it is through writing about it. And I've never been so grateful to have, even if it never goes out into the world, a place to write about that stuff. And yeah, I'm so grateful for the words. Absolutely grateful.
That's so beautiful that in the scariest, most difficult time, it's the most natural thing that you turn to.
Yeah, I think there are some people who pour themselves out in watercolors or some people who pour whatever. The words, man, they're the best.
Very cool. Serena, what about you?
Yeah, well, as always, my gratitude runs toward the granular and the practical. I guess I can't ever get away from that. So I am grateful to deadlines. Last month, I had a really difficult deadline. I had to scramble and set everything else aside and keep myself from panicking. And I did it. I turned it in. And then I immediately went on a book tour for a different book. So that was a difficult experience and a difficult month. And I'm not used to quite so much deadline pressure, but the wonderful thing is that I have these deadlines because of the work that I have placed with publishers, and I wouldn't want to change a single thing about that. So even if I need to get a little better about my timing, I recognize at even in the darkest day that it's a gift to have this problem. And then I'm also grateful for coffee shops, because that has been a place for me to work this year. And I never did this before. I was one of those people who had to be at home in a room all by myself in the quiet writing. And suddenly that became really difficult for me. The quiet was too much quiet. There was too much doom scroll. There was too much self-reflection. And it really started the day after the election, actually. Like, I sort of ordered KJ to meet me out at a coffee shop because I needed to be where other people were. And it was really grounding. Like, there we were, and the barista is a familiar face, and everything was fine inside that shop, you know, which was in itself a little bubble of privilege. But just being out in the world, seeing the rest of the world keep chugging, has really focused me. And I've spent a lot of time in a lot of different coffee shop and library settings in the intervening couple of months, and, well, almost a year now, and it's felt fantastic. So I am excited that there are places where I'm allowed to go pay way too much for a cup of coffee and then sit there for 2 hours, and I will continue to do it.
Can I add a layer to the Serena stuff? Because I got to go to, as some of the other people talking today did, got to go to one of Serena's events. And, you know, we love Serena and we just rave about Serena. And I think she's a genius and I think her writing is wonderful. But I was in a room of people who knew her work. Like, at one point, someone asked about whether or not she was going to be writing more in like the Company series, which is one of the series she started to write. And there are a couple books in that one. And then when she's like, oh, I think the time for that is over. And people were like, oh, and they were sad and they knew characters really well. There was a diehard fan of one of her books. I think it was Stay. I'm so grateful to be able to go to those events and see that other people love Serena as much and respect Serena's work as much as I do. And my whole family was there. So my kid, who's been hearing about, you know, my friend who writes kissing books, he was like, man, people are into her books. And I'm like, yeah, I told you. I've been trying to tell you. And it was great. It was really fun to see people that into
it. Well, the thing is that romance readers really are special. I'm not saying there aren't. Mm-hmm. There aren't fandoms in other genres as well, but it's something about a romance novel involves characters that aren't afraid to say how they feel. And that is how romance mm-hmm. readers are about the books. They are not afraid to say what they feel, and they are there for all the feelings in the first place. And it is really a great spot to be. So for every writer who ever looked down at the romance section of the bookstore, I got news for you. It's really nice over there.
It's great. The people were
so
great.
We have gratitude for the romance readers too.
Yeah.
I love all of your gratitudes. Mine is, I guess I would say that I am grateful for having the identity of a writer as a thing that I take with me wherever I go. And what I mean by that is I've been traveling to see family, and there were airplane troubles, lots of different airplane troubles actually on this particular trip, and lots of delays, overnight delays, sitting in airports for long periods of time, all of that. And I am never sad about those things. I'm almost never at a total loss. Like, you tell me that I have to spend 6 hours at the San Francisco airport, and I'm fine, because I can fill the time, not just fill it like, oh, I can get through this, but I can actually have really productive, useful, awesome time for 6 hours in the San Francisco airport. And if I have to spend a night at a terrible airport hotel, and, you know, just all the things. And I was so grateful when I thought about it in that way, that here's a thing that I can take with me wherever I go, that all I need is something to write on. Could be my phone. It could be a piece of airport hotel notepad and paper. It could even be a torn out page of a magazine that I bought at the airport. And I can be somebody. I can be somebody doing something that I find interesting and good and useful. And I just am so grateful for that. What an amazing thing to be. And obviously, holiday travel is a special kind of thing, but just the thought that comes with me no matter where I go or what I do or what happens in my life. I have that, and I'm very grateful for that. So I don't know, KJ, in terms of how am I going to bring that forward or exercise it or do it, I guess
you should just get
smoother,
stuck in more
travels, but
you don't want to get stuck in more airports? I feel
but
like that should be your goal now.
I guess to take it to a very granular, practical level, like Serena does, always have a notebook with you, man. That's what I got to say. And a working writing implement. It saves the day.
And then you text the word sticker to the rest of us, and we know, oh man, those travel stickers, those are worth double stickers. We always say that. The travel stickers are double stickers.
It's so true. It's so true. Well, we just wanted to pop in here today to share this gratitude episode with you all, and to give you some things to think about your writing life and your writing practice. And we hope that everyone is having a day filled with gratitude. KJ, do you want to say other things?
I wanted to say that I think we're all grateful for the way this community mm-hmm. is slowly but steadily growing. I've been doing ride-alongs with a bunch of people lately. We've been seeing people in the actual Substack chat, which if you use that Substack, that's great. And, you know what it is. And if you don't, that's fine. You can totally hit the same results by talking to us in the comments, which is the same as comments on anything. I just really like sort of seeing the same people and faces pop up over and over again and feeling the same kind of less alone about this that I used to feel back in the early days of blogging. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've pretty much, I'll put a thing on Instagram and then I'm out of there. Because again, there's so much slop now. I'm not really doing a lot of other things, but I am here and there are other people here and I think that's so fun.
It's really fun. And we will continue to be here with lots of offerings from Nerd Corner episodes to Write Big episodes to KJ writing along episodes. And we're in the chat to help and to answer questions. And we have other things up our sleeves too. So keep tuning in.
Yeah. All right.
All right, everyone, until next time around, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.